This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
This week marks the official start of hay fever season.
Hey.
Oh my God, it's hit me like a brick this year.
I know, you are really red.
I am. My eyes are red. My nose is itchy.
Yeah, and we haven't even got downstairs yet and seen the rash that's going on down there.
And most of us only find out about it when we start sneezing or we do get itchy. Well, imagine if we knew in advance that it was going to be a bad hay fever day.
It must be hard. I feel sorry for people with hay fever because, God, they annoy the hell out of me. Do you know when you're sitting there and you're trying to watch something and then I'd sneeze once because my son suffers terribly.
Right.
Oh, he sneezed like 447 times. There's times I think, just hold your breath, mate. You know, like, it disappears.
Well, the University of Melbourne may have an answer for us, and joining us in the studio is Associate Professor Ed Newbiggin. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Warren.
Ed, what are the major causes of hay fever?
In Melbourne, it's almost certainly grass pollen. If you've got allergies this time of year, you're going to be allergic to some of the tree pollen. So people love to blame plane trees for all sorts of things. They're the ones that are flowering at the moment. But in a couple of weeks' time, it will kick in. The grass pollen season will kick in, and that's the really bad one.
That's the bad. Because those plane trees, like, you can be walking down the street and swallow one of the whatever it is comes out, and then it's horrible to start coughing.
That's a different thing. That's not the pollen. That's parts of the seed.
Right. Because you can see that, isn't it? So the pollen's probably what we're not seeing. Is that correct?
It's microscopic. You can't see it. So the stuff that a lot of the street traders complain about, passers-by, pedestrians and so on, that's all comes a little bit later in the year.
Yeah.
That's when all the flowers are finished doing their flowering and produce seeds.
So it's grass. So really, think about it. We should, you know, the good old Greeks down there at Ascot Vale, you know, cementing the whole bloody turf probably helped us good. Instead, we ripped up the cement and we planted grass. We should be Greek and just cement the whole lot.
Yeah, but it's not really the grass that's local. It's the grass out in Western Victoria.
Oh, okay. So it's not the grass.
We need a lot of Greeks to cement the whole of Western Victoria.
Yeah, and that's not going to be good to grow things, is it? No, the cows don't like that.
Things in pots.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll stick with the grass.
Ed, why does the pollen season start officially on October 1, and how long does it last?
Oh, I decided that for very practical reasons a long time ago. So I've been doing this gig for 20 years.
Right.
Doing the pollen count for Melbourne, and I just decided I was going to start on October 1st.
So you're the man, when we watch the weather forecast and we see, oh, there's a pollen count of such and such today, but it's always retrospective, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's a past 24 hours, so it's an average count of grass in a box of air, which is about a meter on all sides.
So do you go out there with the box on the roof and and grab it, air, like magically, like that?
We do it a little bit more technical than that. But
what if someone broke wind when they were walking through? Would that come through on your test?
We wouldn't see that. You can't see wind of that type down the mic.
Okay, so I was just wondering, because I thought if someone accidentally passed wind and you grabbed your box and went, you can have a...
The pollen count's going to go through the roof if it was you. Why does Melbourne seem to be particularly bad for hay fever compared to other Australian cities, or is that a myth?
Look, if you want to Google up worst hay fever or hay fever capital of the world, you'll find lots of places want to claim that as a title. So it's going to be more about seasons. So some in a wet year, and grass growth is really driven by rainfall. In a wet year, Melbourne can be appalling. And we have things like thunderstorm asthma, which is related to pollen as well.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? Because that got people last year. I mean, people died.
2016. 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of scary. Who would have thought a thunderstorm...
Who would have thought pollen could be a weapon?
Yes,
of mass destruction.
So, what is thunderstorm asthma? Like, how does the pollen interact with the thunderstorm? What happens there?
Yeah, so it's a rare phenomenon. It happens in Melbourne on a sort of semi-regular basis, but it's when you've got thunderstorm asthma itself is a sudden increase in people seeking emergency assistance for respiratory problems shortly after a thunderstorm. So it's a very descriptive title. So people having asthma attacks en masse shortly after a thunderstorm. So what's thought to happen and what happened in November of 2016 was a line of thunderstorms moved across the state. So it wasn't just in Melbourne. It hit right across Western Victoria as well. Line of thunderstorms coming across, and it was a north-south line of thunderstorms, and it was kind of moving across a bit like a broom, moving across the state like a broom, and they were pushing that pollen
in. Pushing all the pollen ahead, so it's coming in a dense...
It was quite a dense thing, but to get asthma, you need to break up the pollen. The pollen's too big. Even though it's small, it's too big to get into the lungs, so it has to be broken up. So there is a fragmentation process, and we're not quite sure how that happens. But you can imagine this this mist of fragmented pollen moving across the state. Hit Melbourne, where a lot of susceptible people are, about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the afternoon when everyone's leaving work, getting out, enjoying a nice afternoon, a lot of people who are susceptible suddenly fell foul of that.
So once you get exposed to the pollen, how long until symptoms start in the body? Is it?
It's pretty instantaneous. So it's a very quick response. These are fragments coming down into the lungs and causing constriction of the chest and also inflammation of the airways, and people can't breathe. And that's sort of, you think about it, that's the most fundamental thing that we do is breathe.
Well, I can remember having a daughter with croup and watching your child not being able to breathe.
Yeah.
It was the scariest moment of my whole entire life. And
So 10 people died in that instance, and thousands sought help at hospitals and so on.
So up until now, we've had to wait until we feel the symptoms, don't we? And then take an antihistamine or whatever. But it's already hit us.
Yep.
But you've developed a website that will give us the tools to be able to predict when it's going to happen.
So we do a pollen forecast, a grass pollen forecast, and we also have a relationship with the Bureau of Meteorology and the Department of Health and Human Services to provide a thunderstorm asthma forecast as well. So that goes up on the Vic Emergency website, and then we also mirror that information too.
Right. So we could go to this website and I could say, okay, we've got it up now and we're having a look at it. It's melbournepollen.com.au.
Even I can use it.
You can use it too, Tom.
And this is, here we go, Melbourne pollen count today is low.
But
I can move it and I can have a look in Brisbane. Let's see what you're doing. Oh, you're low too.
Yeah,
they're okay. So you're safe.
But there's a red dot up the top of the country.
So there's... Oh, it's because I'm in Brisbane?
Yep.
Oh.
That's right.
Sometimes. Here I am, it's like as if I'm telling him what to do. I'm teaching. Professor. Oh, sorry, you're the professor. Oh, yeah. Oops.
And if the pollen count's forecast to be high, what preventative measures should we take?
Okay, so I think one of the things is we've got to prepare for the season. So it's a bit like the fire warnings and so on. If it's a forecast to be a high fire day, you're not going to go out there and start lighting up the barbecue and things like that. So you take sensible precautions. So avoidance is always a good thing, having your medications close at hand. And I think rather than sort of trying to treat those acute episodes, taking sensible steps to ahead of that. So if you're an asthmatic, you've got an asthma prevention plan. And you're taking your preventer medications. And if you're a hay fever sufferer, you might be using steroids up the nose as a way of reducing inflammation. But you do it when you're not feeling unwell. And so that'll mean when these bad days do strike, you're better prepared for them.
Will a mask help? You know, you've seen people getting around with those little face masks.
Yeah, they generally, sure. So they can keep things out of the nose and mouth. Generally, pollen will go straight through that.
Because it's so small, it's going to go through.
But they're also going to get into your eyes as well.
Well, they're sneaky little bastards. They're trying anyway to get in, aren't they?
So can you take an antihistamine before, like if you know it's going to be high tomorrow, could I get up in the morning and take one and then hopefully prevent it from happening, or is that more
I think it's horses for courses. It's, if you find that a good way of managing your hay fever,
right,
then absolutely, that's a good way of doing it. Antihistamines tend to be a bit expensive, so and it's the cost which all comes to you, so some people tend to be a bit more cautious about using them. But if you find that taking an antihistamine a day ahead of a high pollen day helps you, then absolutely knock yourself out. Do it.
Fantastic. So if you want to check out the website, you can head to melbournepollen.com.au. FYI, today's pollen forecast is low, as we met before. Professor Ed, thanks for coming into Joy this morning.
It's been a pleasure.
Saving us a lot of sneezes.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.